For you, you know, for your making it all the way out here and joining us once again. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to talk about talking tachlis with our teens. Who knows what tachlis means? Okay, good. Tachlis is one of that small family of Jewish words that in New York everybody knows. So you need to know them here, okay? So like mishpacha, you know what that is, right? Yeah. Like schlep. Schmooze, right? Tachlis is one of them. Okay, so tachlis means the main thing. What?
I said chutzpah.
Chutzpah. Oh, thank you. Yeah, right. Chutzpah for sure. Right. Tachlis is one of that family that everybody knows. So now you know it. Tachlis means the main thing. So if you're an attorney and you're trying to close a deal, you say, "All right, tachlis, let's go." Right. So tachlis, like it's the thing. Right? It's the main thing. So tachlis is what's really important. So it just that's what it means. What's really important or the main thing, or let's get down to brass tacks. It's the brass tacks. It's the most important thing. How do you talk tachlis with your team? Right? So what's tachlis that we want to talk about? So we have a lot of moms here. Does everybody have a team in this room? Or just about to have a team? If you have a 9-year-old, if you have a 9-year-old or above, you are starting the teens. It does not start at 10 anymore. It really does start at about 9, just so you know. It might start at 7, I don't know. It's starting younger and younger. And there's a lot of people, and I definitely want to take questions and conversation too. But there's not that much time, sadly, and there's a lot to talk about. So what is tachlis? You definitely want to be talking about what's important, right? So as things come, so what's really important is who do you want to be and how do you want to get there? That's the main thing you want to talk about. But within that, so much sex, substance abuse. How do you use your eyes towards a screen? What are you filling your eyes with? Your head with. My grandmother, God bless her, she was born in Michigan. I'm not sure where in Michigan, but she was really Wisconsin kind of raised. But she used to always tell me, because she was a farm girl, right, that don't put rocks in your egg basket. Did you ever hear that expression? Right? So she would tell me, like when I would be reading comic books, she said, don't put rocks in your egg basket. So you take it, so I was, what's that? So you take the basket out, you're going to the hen house to pick up eggs, right? But you see pretty shiny rocks on the way, so you start to pick them up, and by the time you get to the hen house, there's no room for what you really want. So comic books are rocks in your egg basket. Don't put rocks in your egg basket. Okay, whatever. The point is you want to talk to your kids about what your values are and what's important and how they're going to get there. Do not wait until your child is 18 to talk to them about sex. In fact, that has to be started probably around 2. I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding. You have to start very young. So, of course, you want to protect your child. So you talked about the good touch, bad touch, and where your bathing suit covers, and you can do that in the bathtub, and why they can take a bath with this sibling but not that cousin, and why this neighbor but not that neighbor, and all those things. That's when you start talking about it, right? And it's not about, and you do want to start at a very young age, and you want to make that conversation that you can have. Right? So you definitely do want to talk about body parts, and you want to talk about how they're used, and you start to instill values right away, right? So when you see a 2-year-old in a bathtub, let's say, and I'll just be very direct here, because you're going to have to be very direct with your children. Let's say you see your 2-year-old son in the bathtub with an erection, and he's playing with it. Right there is your first chance to talk about sex with him. Do you say, don't touch that? Do you say, what is that? Do you say, does that feel funny? Like, what do you say? How do you start the conversation? And how open can that conversation be? So it's very important to create the space for conversation to be there. My 12-year-old son came home one day from yeshiva, and he said, Mom, what's oral sex? I mean, okay, it's time. So unfortunately, we had had other conversations. I said, well, you know what sex is, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, oral means mouth. He said, oh. Oh! So then I took him into another room. We had a long conversation about all kinds of things. But it is important to be the address that your child can turn to about all kinds of things. You want them to ask you. Better he should ask you than somebody else, right? So that you can have conversations. And you want to talk about what it actually is. You want to talk about what it actually does from a safety perspective and from a heart perspective. Safe sex, which we know there's no such thing. There's safer sex. That's what they talk about now, safer sex, not safe sex. Because there's no such thing as safe sex. Right, so safer sex, right? But so you could wear a condom, but there is no condom for your heart. There is not. And they don't teach you that in school. So that's something I definitely talk to my kids, and I would definitely talk to teens starting around 11, 12 for girls. And for boys, maybe 12, 13. Boys start to masturbate around age 11, about 3 times a day until they get married, just so you know. I'm not kidding. I am not exaggerating, and that's across the spectrum. So if you have feelings about that...
That's all.
Thank you. Right? So if you have whatever you want any education about that to be, that's something to start at age 10 or 11. Okay, depending on who you are and what your values are. I heard a very nice phrase taught by one of my rabbis, something he uses with his boys, where he says that you can't control if a bird flies over your head. And maybe he actually says you can't control if a bird poops while it's flying over your head, right? But you can control if it makes a nest in your hair. Right? So what does that mean? You cannot control a thought that flies in, but you can control how you develop it. That's up to you. So how do you want to develop it? That's up to you. And we all have control over that. And that's something that can be taught. So we want to talk about, and I think it is important in talking about not just sex, but sexuality and developing sexuality. And yes, you do want to talk about fantasies with boys and with girls. Girls in general fantasize romantic, but not all, right? And boys in general fantasize straight up sex with pretty much everybody, basically. It's a reality. They're just, that is how it works. So, but you do want to talk about that because you want to talk about what are you trying to accomplish. So talking about sexuality and trying to accomplish a unity in marriage, and that sex is super glue. It's super glue. It holds a marriage together. Unless you use it a lot before marriage, in which case it becomes Elmer's glue.
Hey,
unless you use it a ton before marriage, in which case it becomes Post-it glue. It's just not as strong as what you might need in a marriage. So it's up to you to protect. You can talk to your kids about how do they want to protect the level of glue that they have and the heart that they have. So this is something I definitely, again, talk to, let's say, starting from around 12 for girls, because sex can... Actual intercourse for many girls starts at, let's say, 14, 13, 14, 15. Most girls don't make that out of high school virgins. I mean, I don't have to, probably most of you know that. But, so this is a conversation to have early. Your heart is your wedding gift to your spouse. And you can give a whole heart if you don't break it. Early relationships break hearts. That's a risk you take. You fall in love, your heart may get broken. You can glue it back together, but it will never be the whole heart that it would have been if you hadn't been in that relationship. Doesn't mean there's not other things that you could learn about. Doesn't mean that you can't learn about yourself, although yesterday I spoke to a bunch of older singles, and we talked about dating to get what you want, and how you date, and thinking about building a home, and building the person that you want to be, and the home that you want to build, and finding a partner to help you build yourself, to build your home and your future, and that you want to help build, right? That's a way to think about it. Who do you want to be? How do you want to be built? And how do you want to build? How will you find a partner for that? So we talked about that's dating for what you want, unless an opposite, not the opposite, but the other way to date is to date for fun. So there's dating for fun, and there's dating for tachlis, right? So one of the men who was in his 30s said, or there's dating so you can learn more about yourself. And I of course, you never, ever want to say in the middle of a class, like, that's pathetic. I'm sorry, you're in your mid-30s and you're not married. Like, what's going on with you? It's because you don't know who you are. Get to know who you are. So I'm just bringing you the book I brought to them, okay? I Only Want to Get Married Once. This is a book you could buy now even if you only have a 9-year-old. Because you do want to start talking about your core values, your goals, and your interests, and what's the difference between them. And that we want to identify what are our core values. That's tachlis. Who are you? And start thinking about it. You might want to do that just for your own self. Who are you? And most of you are married, and if you're not, so you want to read it just so you can make sure that you're connecting on a core value level, not on an interests level. Interest is fine for friends, right? A friend can come and go. But who you really connect with is somebody who shares your core values, even if they don't share your interests, right? So, because you might like heavy metal, they might like rock and roll, somebody else likes classical music, but if you really all really care about shalom in the world, that's something to connect with. Right? Even if you have very different tastes in music or food or whatever it is. So you definitely want to be talking with your children about what are their core values and thinking to yourself, how will I instill those values that are really important to me? Right? So if marriage or strength of marriage is something that you see around you, is actually kind of difficult to achieve, and you want to help achieve it, it's something to start talking about now. Now, you cannot wait until they're older, you cannot wait until they're ready to get married or till they're dating or whatever it is. It's something to really instill very early. So it's not really too young to start any of that. But tachlis is talking about what's really important and being the address that they can always turn to. So that means you have to be willing to talk. It does not mean you have to go into great detail every time they ask every question. So let's say you have a younger child, right? So my friend had her 5-year-old walk into the kitchen and say, "Ma, where do babies come from?" Right? So that's the question that every mother dreads. So she's thinking, okay, I want to be honest, I want to give information, not too much information, and I want to make sure that I'm trustworthy. And she's like going through how she's going to calculate out the answer to this 5-year-old. And he says, "From the hospital, right?" And she said, "Right." That's all he wanted to know. He was 5. And he was fine. Like, she was about to give him way too much information. That's not what he was looking for. So it pays to check out what they want to know. You can ask them a question. What are you curious about? And you can also tell them, "I'm happy to share with you anything." And then you can start to gradate the information. So for instance, when my 6-year-old came off the Beis Yaakov bus, and she had heard actually how babies are made, and she asked me if that's right, I told her, "That's true. That's right. And I'll tell you more details when you get a little bit older." And she was fine with that. She didn't really want to know all that, but it was okay to tell her. I'll tell her that, yes, I acknowledge it, and I'll tell you more when you get older. When she was 10 and she came home from school, and she told me that the 3 biggest sins, you know the 3 biggest sins, the ones you're supposed to die for rather than do in Judaism? We have 3. What are they?
Murder.
Adultery. Immoral sexual relations, so adultery, yeah. And idol worship. Right? Idolatry, right? Those
What's
are the
3.
Idolatry. So she came home and she told me the 3 biggest sins: murder, idolatry, lack of modesty. I said, let's have a conversation. Remember when you were 6? So now you're 10, and now let's talk about it. So, because I did not want her to think that showing her elbows is the same thing as murdering somebody. Just because her teacher was too squeamish to say sex. Right? And wrong set, and she didn't want to explain it. I did not think that my daughter should be walking around that misconception for so long. So, a way that I explained it to her, from a Jewish perspective, is you know how sex works, right? Because you know how babies are made. One part of one person goes into another place and another person, and a baby happens from that. You know how that works, right? It's like eating food. All people and all animals eat food. You take food and you put it in your mouth. We all do it the same, right? Except for as Jews, we eat kosher food and we make a bracha. There's a special Jewish way to do that too. There's a special Jewish way to make a baby, and when you get older, we'll talk about that. What they're talking about are ways that are forbidden, right? So that's what it's talking about. You're not allowed to do the forbidden ways of putting that thing in that place. You can't do that, and you can't bet onto idols, and you can't, you know, kill people. Those are the 3 big sins. It's not lack of modesty, it's just they didn't want to say what it is. But that's what it is. I'll fill you in more details later. Great, that was great for 10. Right? That's all she needed to know for 10, for her. You have to know what your kid needs to know and ask them so that you're the address, so that they can turn to you, so that they can say what's oral sex, so they can, and that you can have a conversation about it. Let me, as long as I'm mentioning that word, I'll just tell you that HPV virus, both males and females need to be vaccinated. You've probably heard from your doctors already. But it's not just, it doesn't just help, it doesn't just spread cervical cancer, but the vaccine can help prevent against mouth cancer, throat cancer. Why is that? Because that mouth and throat may be coming into contact with other places where it is, and of course penile cancer and uterine cancer. Yeah.
I just wanted to know, since you brought that up, there supposedly is an updated shot that's going to be coming out that's more effective.
Okay, good.
And thank you for bringing it up.
Okay, anyway, it's just a thing that you should know, that it does help prevent the genital herpes, which is a lifelong affliction. Nobody wants it, so vaccinate early if you think your kids are going to be, even if you don't think your kids are going to be sexually active, but if there's a chance, then you vaccinate both males and females. And it does prevent all kinds of different cancers in addition to the, I mean, it helps prevent all kinds of spread of all kinds of cancers, because it turns out some can be contagious that way. I did read about a book, and I did not read the book, but I read the reviews on the book, because I heard about it too late to read it, but I am going to get it. But just in case you're wondering, there is a book called Oral Sex is the New Goodnight Kiss, The Sexual Bullying of Girls. Okay, Oral Sex is the New Goodnight Kiss, The Sexual Bullying of Girls. So apparently, there's just stuff to be aware of as a mom, to have conversations with your kids, right? What are they being pressured to do? So this is, we're talking middle school. Middle school, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, middle school, you need to be aware of this and what girls are being pressured into doing, and certainly in high school, and that sex includes anything that has to do with your genitals. It's not just intercourse, right? So oral sex is sex, and if you want to talk about sex, then you can talk about it, but that is part of it. So that has to be brought up in conversation also. A book that I also highly recommend you reading, especially as your kids get a little bit older, so ahead of, I'd say middle high school and above, is called Unprotected. A campus psychiatrist reveals how political correctness in her profession endangers every student. It's written by Dr. Miriam Grossman.
I don't mean to stop this, but if someone can see, there are four cars back there. I have a man here who will move their car, but they're illegally parked. And I have a policeman here, so there.
That's me.
On the other side,
the left side.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Is
yeah.
it on the other side of the
driveway?
Okay.
I don't know. No, it's all the way down.
On the road.
On the road. It's on the road. No, it's all the way back.
That's true.
Okay. I got asked a very important question, just and I want to go directly into that, I think. I mean, I'll just finish this thought about this book, but about how the culture of political correctness endangers all of our children. It's here, all of our students, I think, every student. I'm talking about college-age students and how politically correct we have to be. And so, for instance, not talking about the fact that actually, our hearts do get involved in sexuality. And even if you're just doing it as a physical thing, even if it's just like eating, even if it's a totally fine sexual urge that you just like, you're an adult, what does that mean? You know, like that sex is for adults, not for kids. You know, when I see adult store, I think, what do you mean? Like it's just about growing up and being old enough, which is where every kid would want to say to you, I'm old enough. I'm 14. I can make decisions, right? I'm old enough for this. How are you supposed to say, no, you're not an adult? Like, what? Where is that line? So we used to say married, right? So that, again, you're going to have to figure out what your family values are. But let me just tell you just very much in a nutshell, and it's a whole much longer conversation. And if you want, you can find more on my website, abiteoftorah.com. Lots of classes for free. Look up in TJU, the Jewish University. You could look up marriage and sexuality to hear more about sexuality. But in Judaism, sex is for emulating God. It's a very holy activity. It's to create one, right? Adam was created basically in very quick, created as one whole dual-sexed creature, then divided in two, and then, but first had to be created as one because God is one. So we're created in the image of God. God is one, we had to be created as one. Divided in two so we could be givers like God, give to each other, and get back to being one. Create shalom. Shalom is peace, but it's also wholeness and completion. Sex is fabulous in Judaism. We think sex is great for uniting two people in marriage and blending in a neshama. That's what it's for. It's for using your physical body to access the other person's soul, to access your own soul, to knit those two soul halves together so that you and your soulmate are bonded. And sex does that in marriage. It's fabulous in marriage. It's mutual giving, so it's complete emulation of God. You're supposed to give another one pleasure, You're supposed to experience the pleasure. You're supposed to bond and unite and connect your souls together and emulate God in this world as a giver, as a creator, as a giver of pleasure, and as one. That's what sex is in marriage. Sex in marriage, great. Sex out of marriage, other questions. So you're really, other things are happening there. So you really, it's important to understand what sex is, how great it can be, that we're totally for it, that we really prefer you wait till you're married. That's up to you to say what you want to your kids, but Jewishly, marriage is the thing. All right, so I just want to talk, because we don't have that much time, so many other things. So sex is a big thing. Really talk about it. Get educated yourselves. And so that's why I gave you the names of those two books, but I really appreciate the book Unprotected. Very important for kids who are headed towards college or in college. Very important to read.
Who's the author? Was Dr.
That's Dr. Miriam Grossman. She's a campus psychiatrist. Anybody who is looking for a non-sexual book on how girls grow up, this author also wrote The Wonder of Becoming You, How a Jewish Girl Grows Up. So it's a book that's for 10-year-old girls, right? That talks all about periods and ovaries and shows cross-sections and everything, but the cross-section of the woman is not a naked woman. She's a dressed woman, and it doesn't talk about you're getting ready for sex. It's talking about you're getting ready to have a baby when you get married. So it doesn't really go into sexuality, but it definitely goes into periods and breasts and ovaries and what's happening, so you have the science of it. But it's interesting to see that you could really separate how your body is changing from the fact that you're becoming a sexual being. It doesn't have to be in one, it's not one story, it's two separate stories. So you could make it two separate stories if you want to. Anyway, so that author was a pediatrician when she wrote that book, and then she grew up and became a campus psychiatrist and looked around and said, oh my gosh, look what's going on. Actually, one of the things that happens during orgasm is you release oxytocin, right? That's the cuddle hormone. You release it when you're nursing. It helps you bond. It's a fabulous hormone because it also blinds you, which is great in marriage. You should not see everything bad that your spouse does, right? It's terrible in dating because it takes away your ability to evaluate rationally what's going on, right? So that's important to talk to kids about, right? Guess what happens when you have an orgasm? Fabulous. You want to bond. You are hardwired to connect with the object of your sexual desire and pleasure. Why would you want to squander that on somebody that you don't really want to connect with? It's very important to think about the connection that you can create and how you want to protect that. And it turns out, one of the things I learned from this book, it turns out that when girls in college have sex just for fun, they have to hold back. They still are releasing oxytocin, but they have to pull it back, and it causes depression. So she talks about how she is just prescribing truckloads of antidepressants to college girls who are sleeping around who don't realize that they're playing with their heart, and nobody can tell that to them. It's not politically correct. You're the same as a man. You could do whatever you want. I actually was in a Hillel, and I heard two girls studying for a chemistry test. This conversation was so amazing to me because it was during the month of Elul, which is the month that you're supposed to be planning your year, right? Setting your goals. So it was right in the beginning of the school year. And I hear these two girls studying. I had given a speech for the Hillel, and I'm sitting on one side of the room where the campus representative is chatting with the Hillel director for a few minutes. And these girls are on the other side of the lobby preparing for a chemistry test. And they break for a minute. And she says, I can't believe our test is like in 8 hours. Yeah, yeah. Right. You know that guy Brad? Yeah. He says, I'm going to do him this year. She didn't say do. She says, I'm going to do him this year. In fact, I'm going to do that whole fraternity. And I thought, wow, that's your goal for the year.
Lisa?
Your plan?
What if you already have, like, I'm already past, I don't know, there's a few of us that are past mm-hmm. it. Now, if you have kids that, like, probably already maybe did what you just said, who
okay.
knows?
Right.
Okay. Right. I'm saying a few boys that have already, and,
yes.
you know, I didn't start young.
But keep talking.
Like,
right.
What, you know, like,
how do you fix
things?
That?
No, not
so I have been asked that.
What kind of conversations can you have, you know, at a college level
yeah.
that they've already kind of been raised and this is the society?
Right, fine.
So
that's why. That's why I recommend this.
Kids are going to be kind of.
Get this book at least for yourself
right.
and read the whole thing. It's a fast read.
Right.
But
this is by Hannah Levitan. Chanelevitan. Hannah Levitan.
No.
Oh, okay, voice.
Okay, if the book doesn't work, then what?
Okay, no,
the
book.
Okay. Can't get him to read the book.
No, he's not going to read the book. because you're going to have the conversations, right? So, and you can't fix everything. The truth is, God put that child into your life with those parents at this time in this society with these people and this convergence of things for his pathway. So if you've already raised him, all you can do is be who you are, and maybe you'll have an opportunity with grandchildren to instill some more. Or if they... I'm not kidding.
But we don't want them to have grandchildren before they get married.
No, you don't.
I don't know about... I know there's probably a lot of us around here. You have those teenage kids, some of them have boys, and those conversations aren't coming easily. Like, they're not. I don't want to talk about it.
Right,
you
know? Right.
And the hand is up, and you're like... They've kind of shut down
this
conversation.
So, I am prepared for that question.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay, go. Give her $10.
Texting is your friend, right? Yeah. Texting is your friend. That's your enemy, too. It's one reason why you can't have those conversations. But use it. So you could text a little bit. And you can send YouTube videos. Right? I'm not kidding. There's some really great ones. Look, there's one called The Economics of Sex.
Oh, my God.
I want to watch that one.
I know.
Guys, but what you can do is you have to seize the moment. Here's some of my tips. That's right. Yeah. Seize the moment. Be honest. Be direct. Consider and listen to their point of view. You actually have to be somebody who's trustworthy, right? So many of you have created relationships in which you're not trustworthy. But you created it, which means you can create a trustworthy relationship. It will not happen overnight. It may take a few years to turn that tide, but it can be turned. It's up to you. You're only in the relationship that you're in right now the way it is because you chose every step of the way that exact relationship. You didn't sit down when they were two and say, I choose to have a relationship where I can't talk to my kids about what's important by the time they're 20. But the choices that you made each and every day brought you to this point. So you have to realize you chose yourself into it. You can choose yourself out of it. You can create more warmth. You can create more acceptance. I'll tell you, I think I shared with this group last year, but it's a lot of other people here. Here's the big secret, okay? When your kids grow up, and I'm empty nested now. I have 6 kids. I have 8 grandkids.
Wow.
I'm very thankful, right? So you don't get to pick who they marry, what they study, what profession they pursue, where they live, how often they'll visit. Nothing is in your control. It's an extremely frustrating thing. Nothing. The only thing you get to pick is how much you love them. That's it. It's the only choice you have left after they grow up. That's all you get. So you have to really love them and create space for them to be in relationship with you, because they get to pick how often they want to be in touch with you. Mm-hmm. And it's only if you are touchable that they're going to want to be in touch. So that's what you have to work on, is create a relationship that's warm and loving and caring.
There's a phone ring.
That's okay. They can ring. Okay. They'll leave a message. So you want to create a situation in which they can turn to you, in which they trust you, in which you're not embarrassed by them, right? And you might be. That's your work, to work on that. How can I be the kind of mother who loves and respects and holds this child dear, right, and gives them space to grow in my warmth? You know, there's the Hebrew letter Samach is a feminine letter. I don't know all the details of all the Kabbalah of this, but I do know that it's a feminine letter. It does represent a hug. But this shape is not just a hug, it's also a prison, right? That depends on what you do with this shape, right? Is it an embrace, or are you squishing the heck out of them? What are you doing, right? So that's up to us to shift how we behave towards our children. And we have to get educated so that we can empower. We want to empower ourselves, and we want to empower our children. We want them to have the best marriage and life possible. Right, so many of you are not thinking, okay, I want to encourage my kids to get married at 20, but certainly by 30, a lot of you are going to want your kids to be married at that age. Let me tell you, tsuris, it's another one of those Jewish words that you should all know, right? Tsuris is bad stuff, right? The pain, right? It builds as your kid crosses 30 and isn't married and you're waiting for them to have children and you're ready to be. Right now you're thinking, I don't want to be a grandmother at that age. But then you're thinking, guys, how long should I wait before you give me some grandchildren? So that's only you have to start now actually saying, really, a great life is when you have a great partner that you love and trust and who loves you and trusts you. And in order to have that, you have to be somebody who knows who you are. You have to be a trustworthy person. You have to be somebody with direction and goals and values. Let's work on that. It's not just all about sex. It's all about who do you want to be. That conversation of direction, goals, and values, that's about drugs too, right? Okay, smoking pot, not, we come mile high state, okay? So legal in Colorado. It's recreationally legal in Colorado. You do not have to have a doctor's prescription anymore. You can walk right in and buy whatever you want. Any edible, they have all kinds of edibles now, which are real problems for little kids because you buy a bag of edibles and little kids see candy, and there's been a lot more emergency room visits lately in Colorado. Nevertheless, pot, not the worst on the planet. Maybe it's not even a gateway drug. There's controversy about that. Maybe it's just fun like alcohol. But it definitely messes with the developing brain. That's not a question. So if you're starting it at 14, 15, 16, you're going to hurt your brain. Put it off. Enjoy it when you're 22. You know, just wait until you've developed a little bit more and you have a little more seichel, another one of those words, right? A little more common sense, right? Because you need to have that a little bit. Try it. Or maybe you'll discuss it. We actually had a kid who, I won't say which one, because he hates it when I talk about him. I love talking about him. We had a child who was studying very serious subjects in university before he ever tried anything, but he wanted to try it. The other people in his environment were trying it, and he discussed it with us. What do you think it would be like? Do you think it would be okay? How do you think it will impact my brain? Brains, very important organs. We like brains. Right? As Woody Allen said, it's my second favorite organ. Right? But for many of us, it's our first favorite. Right? So we want to make sure we protect it. And smoking pot while still developing hurts your brain. Right? Also, just so you know, as somebody who has lived with and lost somebody from mental illness, it can precipitate psychotic episodes in those who are given to certain types of mental illness. You should just know that too. If there's somebody, because sometimes, often people with depression or bipolar disorder or things like that manage it with marijuana, manage it with alcohol. Marijuana can be a problem for people who have certain, that are given to certain things. So just so you know, that does exist for, not for regular people, just like regular people could have a drink. But if you happen to have that, whatever gene it is that American Indians have, you could become alcoholic with your first drink. You could become psychotic with your first joint if you have that going on in your brain. So that's just important to know, too. You want to talk to your kids about what it does to you, not just smoking. We all have that conversation with our kids, smoking, ugh, right? Everybody knows that. Every kid knows that today. But do they know that about other things? So it's something to talk about. What does this do to you? Don't leave it just to the schools to educate about. I remember my own beginnings of drug education. I grew up in a neighborhood probably similar to many neighborhoods in Detroit, not this type at all. So in first grade, we had drug education. So in first grade, they brought a whole big frame of all different kinds of pills behind the glass for us to look at to be able to recognize if there was a pusher in the playground, don't take this stuff, right? And don't drink. Drinking is bad for you, right? It kills brain cells. So I knew I didn't want my brain to be killed. But I did not know they were talking about alcohol. I'm thinking drinking. It must be. Not kidding. I was five, right? I skipped a grade, so I was right in first grade when I was five. So I said drinking kills brain cells. I'm thinking, what could it be about the drinking that kills brain cells? It must be the swallowing. So for years I tried to gulp, like I have to swallow. We must have extra brain cells. Not everybody's stupid, right? But I would try to like get as much down as possible in one swallow so I would be able to drink less, but like have as much brain left over as possible. Do not just let your school do the education and you don't follow up. You know? Really important to have these conversations. So, but also just looking at those drugs, I mean, they left it with curious. I was curious. If I would have been able to open that box, I probably would have tried one. You know, they're showing me what to avoid, but it was interesting looking. So keep the conversation going. So That's one of the things. I mean, you want to invite more discussion for sure. Make sure that you're the address. Ask them what they want to know about whatever you're talking about. And then say, you can ask me anytime. I will answer any question. My personal red line is, I will not tell you anything about what my husband and I do. Right? That's private. But I'll tell you about anything else. So you can say, did you have sex last night? I'm not answering that question. Do you guys like to? I'm not answering that question. Do couples like to? I'll answer that question. Is this something that people do? I'll answer that question. Right? So how does this work? I'll answer that question. Right? So, but there is a certain amount of privacy that you want to maintain. So you can just say, what's your red line? If you have one, depending on what it is. But you can just say that, you know, I'll answer any question you want. And if I don't know, I'll research it. I'll get back to you. Or we'll sit down together. You could go on the internet together with somebody to look something up. You'll be shocked what you find. It's very important to, and I'm not talking about not giving your kids access. Your kids have access. That's not a question. If you want to be shocked, and you'll need some brain bleach after this, you could, for shock value, go on Go Ask Alice, which is definitely available to teach your kids all about sex and everything that you really don't want your kids doing. Really, horrible stuff. It's terrible, and they're telling you it's all normal, all the experimentation, golden showers, very disgusting, everything is fine, everything's in the realm, look, it's not. You just say, sex is not for, it's not creepy and it's not weird. That's the message that's being given out in this world today, is that sex is for bad girls, but it's okay to be a bad girl. We don't believe that. That's a Christian message. Sex is for good girls and good boys. It's great. Sex is great in its context for growth, for giving, for connecting. That's what sex is for growth, for giving, for connecting. So make sure you're doing this. Somebody you want to grow with and give to and connect with. That's what sex is for. It's not just fun. It's a builder, right? So again, you'll have to think of your values, but have your conversations with your kids. Get educated about what you want to teach them. But you can start teaching that from a very young age, right? What is that? That's very special. And you can use whatever language you want, but depending, you do have to start thinking about it and use your language and start talking to them. But really what you want is core values. Who do you want to be? How do you want to get there? Let's start talking about that. And I was talking to Sherry about building dreams. It's so important to build dreams in your kids and then empower them to achieve it. We're pretty good at that as a community, right? As a group of Jews, as relatively affluent, usually white Americans, we're so privileged and we're full of dreams. When I brought my daughter home from the hospital, after she was born, first daughter, came home from Lenox Hill Hospital, to my in-law's apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and there was a sign on the door that my father-in-law made that said, "Welcome home, future college graduate." Like, no question, right? It was just not a question. She's 2 days, and I remember thinking, like, that's a very heavy trip for a two-day-old. Like, couldn't she be 2 days first? Like, it's not even a week. But the dreams are there. What do you want to be when you grow up? And if your child will answer you, "Garbage man," what do you say?
Great.
You might.
Ask garbage man their other friends.
You might, or you might say, "Garbage man is fun, but owning the company is better." Right? I mean, yes, it can be fun. And for a 3-year-old, you're not going to correct them. But if your 7-year-old or your 10-year-old is telling you that, you're definitely going to help shift their dreams to something bigger and something broader. Right? We want to facilitate big dreams and the ability to accomplish them. So ability to accomplish dreams is empowerment, and it's also removing impediments. So I was talking to Sherry about that too. We want arts for tolerance. Tolerance for what? Tolerance is just an impediment. That's not a goal. You want to create tolerance so that you can go further. Right? It's about what can you achieve. Now, you don't want to stop right there. You want to keep going. Music, it's great to play music, but you also learn patience, and you also learn another language, and you also expand your brain, and you also connect with different people, and you also learn to work in concert with people, so you learn to contribute to the greater part and to not be the star and not always have to stand out, but to be part and to blend. Music can be very important for all of those things. Why are you doing it? Yes, I want to play guitar. I also want to give my kid a bunch of skills, right? So think about that. Who do you want to become? How can you get there? How can I empower you? But only you can choose your destination, and only you can drive your bus in that direction. I can just help you, but you want to have that conversation on a regular basis, right? Who do you want to be? How will you get there? How will you take roadblocks out of the way? And how will you invest in experiences and skills that will really bring you to the place that you want to be? That's tachlis. Who do you want to be? And how will you get there? And that's a conversation we need to have with our kids on a regular basis. So, should I keep going? We really have to wrap up, right? I'll tell you, so I'll give you, I just was thinking about tachlis, right? Because I like to have a mnemonic, and I did not go through all these, but I'll just think some words I was thinking about. So if you write tachlis, T-A-C-H-L-I-S, tachlis, right? So the T is trust. You have to create a relationship with trust, where they trust you. And they know they can count on you. You're not going to go tell stories about them. I'm working on that.
It's hard.
It's really hard, especially when they're so cute. You're not going to go tell stories about them. You're not going to use it to undermine them later, right? You're going to use it to support them. They trust you. A is for availability. You also put your phone down once in a while and look at them in their eyes, right? So that could be a family dinner where everybody puts their phone aside, or it could be once a week Shabbat dinner. Even if you don't keep Shabbos, put your phone aside. It's Shabbos. We can all disconnect to connect a little bit here at this time. Once a week is a phone-free meal, you know, or maybe every night it's a phone-free meal, whatever it is, but there's got to be a time when you're available for them. Tucking kids into bed is such a fabulous time, even when they're teens. You know, they love it. They love it. Mine did anyway. Yes, you want to go to bed before them. I do that. They can tuck you into bed. See, it's for choice. You have to make the choice about the kind of relationship you want to create. But choice, as Jews, is such an important concept. We are people of free choice. And we can choose. Yes, we have instincts, and we're the only animal on the planet that can override our instincts. We can make choices that transcend our instincts. And we need to teach our children that, yes, you want it. Yes, it's delicious. Yes, the draw is powerful. And yes, you can say no. So it's totally up to you. You have the ability to transcend instinct if you want to, and choose who you want to become. It's the most powerful message of the Jews, is that we get to pick. We can make ourselves new again and again and again and constantly choose it. Age is for two things. Help, you should offer help. And you should ask help from the big H. Hashem, turn to Hashem and say, please Hashem, you entrusted these children to me. You gave me this life, please help me live it. I need help raising these children. They're just entrusted to me. And then I have to let go of them, and they get to fly away. Hopefully they'll do a little orbiting, but if you're the one who's orbiting, then they just want to fly away, right? So you have to ask for help from Hashem and offer your kids help. Who do you want to become? How can I help you get there? Now, how can I push you to my destination for you? How can I help you get to where you want to be? L is for love. Offering it unconditionally, which when they're still growing up, you could be a little, not the love conditional, but there are strings attached. But I learned one day as I was saying the verse, I'll say in Hebrew and in English, open up your hand and Pateach et yadecha masbi'el chochai ratzon, open up your hand and grant it to every living thing its desire. It's a verse that we're supposed to have a lot of concentration for. And as a slightly Sephardically affected Jew, I open my hand when I say it. That's a Sephardic thing to do. One day, I say it, please grant every living thing what they desire. You could also put the comma before desire. Please grant every living thing desire. Like some people, sometimes you don't even want, right? You have to want to be good before you could even want to be good or whatever it is. So sometimes I was davening one day, praying one day for one of my children that I was really having a hard time loving. I was like, just please give me the desire to continue loving her. I'm having a really hard time with it. Right? It's going very thin. I'm like, the responsibility is carrying me through, but the love, very thin right now. So please, give me the desire to love this child. Right? But I realized as I opened my hand, that my hand was all the way open. And I thought, that's how you give to us, Hashem. Just like this. Not like this. Not, I'll give you money if you only buy Sneas clothes. I'll give you money if you only buy kosher food. I'll give you if you only do what I want. Like that. It's like that. Shem says, I'll give you energy to eat whatever you want. I'll give you energy to drive however you do. You make choices, but I'll keep giving to you and giving to you and giving to you and hoping that you will make good choices. So this child was 19, and I realized I have to open my hand all the way up and just say, whoever you want to be, I want to help you get to who you want to be. It's not about my destination for you. It's about your destination for you. So offering that love and love and love again. Again, different for 16 and for 12, but for 19 already, it's got to be love and love and love. We have a much better relationship today. Thank God. Took some time. Then I is for invite more discussion. Just let them know you're always available. You are there for them. They want to come to you and talk about anything, you'll do it, right? And you'll be honest with them. And even when you're uncomfortable, you'll work on it. I do give talks about sexuality all around the country, and I've gotten lots of phone calls. At first, in the beginning, when I would get phone calls, I was so glad I was on the phone because I was so embarrassed to answer some of those questions, but I knew I had to because they were so brave to call. So I was so glad they couldn't see me blushing while I'm trying to like answer these questions that are very uncomfortable. And then I had my annual checkup, and I had a PA that I didn't know, and I saw she was that uncomfortable. I recognized the uncomfortable in her. She walked into the room. She did not look me in the eye. She shook her hand as she introduced me, but she was already looking away. She talked about the weather and the trees while she did what she had to do, but there was no direct eye contact. And I realized she's as uncomfortable as I am, but it's worse because she's the professional. And we have to get comfortable with ourselves so that we could be comfortable having conversations that need to be had. And it's fine to have conversations about things that are important, even if you're uncomfortable with it. Learn to get comfortable. You could practice words in the car while you're driving. Nobody's there to hear. Make sure your phone is off. Nobody's on speaker. Just say stuff out loud so that you could do it. Anyway, invite more discussion. And finally, support. The S is for support / sustain. It's hard for me to pick just one. Right? So support your kids, but you want to create a relationship that's sustainable so that your conversations are sustainable, so that your love is sustainable, so that you can continue this into adulthood. It turns out they do grow up, they do move out, and you still love them desperately. So if you want to have a relationship for a long time with a fabulous adult, you've got to create that relationship with the fabulous adult. So for anybody who has younger kids, even medium kids, one of the exercises I did is I tried to pretend I was babysitting. I tried to pretend I was babysitting for the adult that's inside that child. So I tried to look at that child and say, there's an adult in here. It just is going to take 20 years for that adult to step out of this little creature. But it's going to step out, and when it does, it's going to take the child away and say, thanks for watching me for all these years. I appreciate it. It's not going to pay. I can tell you that, because otherwise I'd be rich from all that babysitting, but I am not, so it's not. But the difference is, unlike the other parents who do give you a check and say, thanks for watching my kid, they know everything you did. Everything you did. Right? There's no pulling the wool over that adult's eyes. So really, who I'm responsible to is that adult that's inside that child, that I am protecting that child for the sake of that adult. Right? And I'm educating that child for the sake of that adult. So that's my exercise, and that helped me keep my voice down, and helped me be more responsible, and it helped me be more loving, because I knew that adult is there, and now I have them, and they're so much fun. I have to say, having adult kids is a blast. It's totally worth all the investment. So I'll bless you all with grace and poise and direction and strength and clarity in your investment. And you should reap tons of rewards with fabulous children on the way, and for sure once they get there to adulthood, you should have wonderful, beautiful relationships with them.
Thank you.